Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Do you like surprises? Some people don't, especially the jaw-dropping kind. Did you know sometimes Jesus surprised people? Today, let's look at one of those experiences. Yesterday, we attended a Jewish wedding along with Jesus, his mother Mary, and five guys who were spending time with Jesus getting to know him. John, one of those five guys, gave us the story of the miracle which took place when Jesus came to the rescue of the bridal couple as their reception was running out of wine. It was Jesus' first miracle. You'll remember yesterday I showed you it was likely only the servants who filled the jars with water and Mary his mother and the five guys with Jesus who knew what happened. John tells us what they did next. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and disciples. They stayed there for a few days, John 2:12. I'm including a map of the region during the first century so you can get a good orientation of the location of these towns. I urge you to familiarize yourself with it, for the content of the first four books of the New Testament takes place in the region of this map. Now, why do you suppose Jesus and his family and friends went to Capernaum? And why did John say they went down to Capernaum when the map clearly shows Capernaum was northeast of Canaan? Now that may seem like a small thing, but it might help you to know when the gospel writers used up or down in travel, they were talking about elevation, not direction. We tend to use up when speaking of going north, direction. They used up when talking about a rise in topography. You'll notice whenever a person is traveling to Jerusalem in the New Testament, it's almost always up, because Jerusalem is built on Mount Moriah, first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 22, when God leads Abraham there to sacrifice Isaac. We notice John mentions Jesus went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. Did you know Mary had other children beside Jesus? Mark chapter 6, verse 3 names them. Mark writes that the people were amazed at Jesus as he taught in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth one Sabbath. Some said, "Where did this man get this wisdom? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" While the father of this large family is not named by Mark, we have no reason to assume it is any other than Joseph. Thus, Jesus grew up in a big family. But friends, sadly, despite Jesus' teachings and miracles, none of those known as his brothers and sisters believed Jesus was the Son of God until after his resurrection. So here, as they walked from Cana to Capernaum after the wedding, it was Mary and her sons and five friends of Jesus. I wonder what they talked about. My guess is Jesus and his five friends walked a little separate from Mary and her other sons, in part so the guys could ask Jesus about the water-wine experience they'd had at the wedding. In truth, the only person in this large group of people walking down the road who had any idea who Jesus really was Mary, his earthly mother. And even she had been trying to figure it out since the day the angel Gabriel appeared to her about 30 years before. How could this man Jesus be both a normal human being and God the Son at the same time? I wonder what you think about that, my friends. Apparently, a few days later, it was nearly time for the annual Passover feast, and John records for us that Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and evidently these five men, John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael, went with him. Jerusalem would have been overcrowded to beyond anything we can imagine, for Jews would have come from all over Israel, as they did every year, for this great event, which celebrated their national uniqueness as Israelites, rescued by God from Egyptian slavery so many years ago. The great temple in Jerusalem was always the highlight of any visit to Jerusalem, but for Passover, it was the center of attention for everyone. John tells us Jesus went there, of course, but what happened surprised everyone. John describes it this way. In the temple courts, Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them all from the temple courts, and he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He shouted, "Get these out of here! Stop turning my father's house into a market." John 2:13-16. Look around, my friends. What do you see and hear? It's mayhem. It's chaos. It's a near riot. It's shocking and a jaw-dropping surprise. It's also very, very significant. The Great Temple was a remarkable place. In the outer courts, hundreds of people would always be walking around, some praying, some bringing animals to sacrifice on the huge altar. Over the years, two big businesses had arisen here. One was the animal market, where people could buy the animals they needed to offer as their sacrifices. Of course, price gouging was as rampant then as now, and animal pens had moved in from outside the city to right inside the temple courts in the name of convenience. The other business was the money exchange. Offerings paid at the temple were only permitted in a unique temple coin. Thus, money changers were all around exchanging the money people had brought from all over the Roman Empire into temple coins. It too had become outrageously corrupt. In this place of worship, designed by God for people to encounter God, human greed had defiled this place to the extreme. While we can safely presume Jesus had come every year since he was at least 12, this was the first time he came ready to challenge the corruption and greed which had overrun this holy place. Did you notice the statement John records that Jesus said on this occasion? It was powerful and brief. "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." As shocking as it was for animals to be running loose and coins rolling down the pavement, most shocking of all was Jesus' claim that this grand temple was my Father's house. Everyone knew this temple was a God-designed structure, and God had said his presence would be here forever, 2 Chronicles 7:15 and 16, but no one had ever claimed this God was their Father. People grabbed their beards and put their hands on their heads. They stood in amazed shock. What did Jesus mean by these words? Jewish temple leaders and guards came running into the chaos and demanded answers. Some probably grabbed the troublemaker, Jesus. "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" That's fair, don't you think? This was the great temple, a place where people would be expected to behave with certain decorum and respect. But don't you find it interesting? No one questioned who he was or why he claimed the God worshipped in this place was his Father. So let's pause right here, watching this remarkable scene, and now look around our world at the mayhem everywhere in our day. Do we see evidence of the same thing happening? People pushing God away, greed, corruption, religious tradition and rituals without any spiritual power. What does it look like where you live, my friends, as we are now only about 30 days from Easter? And if Jesus was to physically walk into your town, into the churches in your town, what would Jesus say today about what's happened in our world and how far away God seems from most cities, most neighborhoods, most families, and even, sadly, too many churches? But what if Jesus surprised us? What if Jesus did today as he did that day? What if Jesus walked in and overturned the tables of corruption and greed that are so rampant among us? What if Jesus challenged us to consider how far away we've pushed God? How would we respond? Really now, in the chaos of March 2022, how much would you really like God to involve himself in our world, our families, our marriages, our businesses, our schools, our morality, our ethics? What difference could Jesus make this Easter if we, people everywhere in our world, actually invited Jesus to come and shake things up in our world, our lives, with his Easter presence? Here's a song that helps us consider that amazing possibility, my friends.